We're Lancer Radio, Pasadena City College. You're with Over Coffee with Dot Cannon. Suppose you had to make a decision with somebody's life hanging in the balance, and then you realized that your own preconceptions were affecting your judgment. That's the premise at the very core of Reginald Rose's classic drama, 12 Angry Men, currently being presented at the Pasadena Playhouse. In fact, it's a little inaccurate to say currently. They're in previews right now. Their big opening night, the 10th, this upcoming Sunday. I'm talking with Barry Pearl. He portrays juror number 7 in the production. Barry, before we get into the discussion series that goes with this, tell me a little bit about your character, juror 7. Who is he?
Well, it's funny because of all of the characters, he seems to be the least defined. And we define the characters based certainly on what the author says about them, what other characters say about them, what they themselves say about them. We don't know what his vocation is, where others we do. It is exposed. We do know that he is in a hurry to get out of this jury room to get a decision made so that he can make a ball game. He has tickets for the Yankees-Cleveland game that night, and his reason for existing is to get to that game to see this new kid that they have pitching for the team, Mojalewski. And so he really doesn't want to have he's had enough of this and wants to leave. I have supposed, and usually you make suppositions based on, again, certain givens, and because there are very few givens, I have created certain things about him. We believe that he probably lives either with his parents, and that actually was given to me by my costume designers, bless their hearts, that he lives with his mother. He is a man, you know, in his 50s. I have chosen that he's probably a doorman of some sort, either to a theater or a building. And if it is a building, they have just gone electric, so he's lost his job. And excuse me, he's saved up a whole bunch of money to be able to purchase these tickets for this game, which adds heat to his wanting to get out of this room and get it done with. There isn't much of a care about whether this person is not guilty. He certainly believes, based on what he's heard in the room, in the courtroom, that this young fellow is guilty. And he holds out for quite a long time before any change of mind takes place. If there is a change of mind, for those people who've not seen or never read 12 Angry Men, spoiler alert. There is a bit of a surface-ness about him, though I suppose like any other human being, there is depth. We don't delve into it too much, but he wants to get this and gone. And at the very top of the play, that is the case for 11 of the 12 jurors. They figure it's a fait accompli, goodbye, and we discover that that's not in fact what happens.
Again, spoiler alert, but what makes Juror 7 grow? Why does he suddenly realize that something else might be a little bit more important than getting to that game?
A number of things. The discussions about certain quote-unquote facts that are posed. There is one particular fact that is exposed that I prefer not to talk about that does finally push him over the edge. But two, he sees the behavior of someone that he has been, and I'm going to talk in terms of myself, of I, that I've felt allied with. And as I see this particular juror become darker and darker, I start heading for the light side, if you will. No pun intended, by the way. So that helps to turn me. These are character choices. It may be different for other actors who may essay this role. But for me, there's a specific piece of evidence that is brought to light, and a specific feeling I have about another juror that wants to make me that changes my mind and takes me in another direction than the other juror seems to be headed for or has been blatantly heading for right from the very beginning.
We won't spoil it anymore for the audience. Just see it. It's going to be pretty amazing.
It truly is. And we do hope, as all theater, all the arts should elicit discussions and all kinds of conversations. I think it is the point to keep opening our eyes wider and wider. And ultimately, I mean, for me, and forgive me for quoting a cliche, but as Rodney King said, why can't we all just get along? So simple, yet so profound. Why can't we just do that, Dot? And, you know, it's not a problem that we're going to solve, but at least if we can create conversations about it, it heads us in the right direction.
Before we completely run out of time, one of the three Talk Back Tuesdays that you have in tandem with this is called Race Relations in the Arts. Happens Tuesday, November 26. It occurred to me to wonder, working 50-plus years in theater, how have you seen race relations change in the arts in your time as a theater professional?
And I may be seeing this through rose-colored glasses, but first of all, I'd like to believe, I do believe, that this particular business, there seems to be so much more room for people to simply live and let live. We still have a long way to go, but I am proud to be in this business, have this craft be that which has been, you know, my thrust through my entire life, in part because of the equality that does exist. Again, there's still a long way to go, but I lived 11 years in Pennsylvania, and I must say, in reflection, growing up, it wasn't as liberal. I literally moved overnight to New York, literally, to audition for and subsequently get the job in the Broadway production of Bye Bye Birdie. I replaced a fellow by the name of Johnny Borden to play the role of Randolph McAfee. He'd left to do another show, and it opened it up for me, that the role opened. So I literally moved overnight, and it was a great culture shock. Where I had not gone to grade school with any persons of color, all of a sudden I'm going to professional children's school that is a school designed for children in the theater or whose parents are in the theater and who have their children travel with them during their jobs. And so it was multiracial. And I thought, wow, this is the melting pot. This feels right, Dot. It just felt right. There was no, when I say shock, I mean it in a good way. And that feeling continues to be promoted. We do not, it may sound naive, but there, to me, there's no color blindness. We share roles, blacks and whites share roles, as is evident in this piece, and I am thankful that I'm part of the machinery now that allows for this that should be the law of the land, if you will.
Barry, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Dot. And please, folks, please come out and see the production, 12 Angry Men at the Pasadena Playhouse. We welcome your feedback during the talkbacks. Thanks again, Dot.
Thank you.